Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And I've got part of the band back together.
Yes, sir.
I got Thomas Dorian. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, Venerable Tom is here with us. And Sam.
I thought I was blessed.
No, you're not there yet. Oh. You're still venerable.
I got to be dead?
Well, A, yes.
Okay.
B, you're waiting on some miracles.
I thought you and Char and Sam talked about me being blessed.
No, Char did, because she's okay. A friend of yours.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we have a great show in the can there with Char Claxon, a judge in Memphis, Tennessee, about her conversion. It's an awesome show.
It is a couple shows ago.
So check that one out.
She would be a good, co-host.
Just kind of pop in every once in a while.
Yeah, we need to do that.
All right, Char, if you're listening, we're gonna give you a phone call, and you're gonna come and show up.
Be ready.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. I do want to give a little bit of a shout out. I just want to say hi to Jesse Lopez. Jesse's from Manteca, California. He sent me a nice email about our show that we did about discernment for the permanent diaconate. Just talking about the role of the permanent deacon. I was on with my wife, Bess, and it was a wonderful show. And
it really was a good show.
Yeah. So Jesse, I am going to reach out to you as you requested. So anybody else who wants to reach out to me, Deacon Jeff at thecatholiccafe.com. I'd love to hear from you. Whatever's going on in your life, love to hear about that. And I have one other little piece of business that I'm going to be talking about here for the next several shows, and that is we are going to be participating for the first time ever in I Give Catholic. Mm-hmm. So I Give Catholic is that wonderful opportunity. This year it happens on December 3rd. It's a universal or national day of giving. Comes after I think it's the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for you to give to your favorite Catholic causes, ministries, charities, your parish. All these different people have signed up. And so the Catholic Cafe is going to participate because we have a lot of stuff that we want to do here. We really are going to spend some time, and it's going to cost us some money, but we want to buy some TV gear. We want to get this show on
the road.
On the road in a visual way. We need your help doing that. So all you have to do is go to I Give Catholic. If you Google I Give Catholic and the name, the city Memphis, just I Give Catholic and Memphis, you will find the Diocese of Memphis, and we'll be listed under the Diocesan Ministries for the Diocese of Memphis. And also you can just go to I Give Catholic and you can their website, and you can search for the Catholic Cafe. So this will be an opportunity for you. We have a moderate goal of $50 million. Hey, if I only get half that, Tom, I'll be happy. I'm just kidding. No, we really are not looking for that much money. We're looking somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000. And I know that I've got 50,000 listeners. And if you just give a dollar to I Give Catholic, this is our goal. A dollar from all my listeners, that'd be about $3 million.
But you know, to your credit, I don't think you've ever done that before.
No, we've never done that. And we don't do fundraising. We don't typically do that. But I'm sitting there looking at
How many years has it been?
16. We're in our 16th year.
Feels like 26.
Sometimes it does. Kind of like marriage, isn't it?
I'm kidding. Yeah, exactly.
But not to my wife. No. I feel like I just got married to Bess just the other day.
Yeah, we're still on our honeymoon.
Yeah, right? Exactly right. We are in the honeymoon phase.
We are.
We have a 37-year-long honeymoon.
Golly.
So that's awesome. And we did a whole marriage series, too. That's something
else. I know.
Else
we that, just did it.
That people should be aware of and should listen to.
Y'all are 37. We're coming up on 39.
Man, that's awesome.
It's crazy.
You're like my older brother.
It's crazy.
You know, that's wonderful. So what are we going to talk about today? We have an interesting topic today.
Always interesting.
Well, you and I were kind of putting our head together and kind of like what's going on in your life? And sometimes we just start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I go like, man, we should be recording this. Because we just talk about the church.
Right.
And I don't know how we got into the conversation.
We were talking about the shows.
We were talking about the shows.
The previous shows.
But we didn't. How did we start talking about what I get out of Mass?
I was talking to you about the show with Bess.
Yeah.
And I was. One of my takeaways.
Oh, that's right. The
one of
the
my takeaways
show.
From that was, a lot of times people get caught up in, we were talking about her feeling lonely, possibly feeling lonely.
Right, which she does not agree with. Right. She was told, you will feel lonely in the pew because your husband has abandoned you and he's gone up to be with the priest. He likes the priest more than he likes his wife. Now, they didn't say those words.
Right.
But she always kind of took a little bit of offense to that. Maybe that's the wrong word. But she was like, I don't think that's going to be the case.
She took
an exception to it. In fact, and it's played out over the last 16 years of my ordination, she's like, no, I'm super excited that you're a deacon.
Yeah.
And we just recounted all the things, like from her perspective, she loves it when I get to do this and when I get to do that.
Yeah.
She kind of participates in the Mass vicariously through me
in
a way. But the thing is, your takeaway from that was very interesting to me.
Yeah, well, one of my takeaways was what I heard her saying, and she didn't say this specifically, but what I heard her say was, the Mass is not about me. When I show up, I'm there to receive, but it's not about me. I'm not the focus. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, and you know what?
A lot of times people feel that way. You know,
that's what got us started.
They'll go from one parish to the next, or they'll leave, or they'll do whatever. Because I'm not getting anything out of it.
They're looking for their perfect Mass experience.
Right.
Right. Or their perfect parish experience.
Right.
And so it's like, well, I don't like him. He talks like this, or I don't like the people at that parish. They're too this or too that. I don't like the way the seats feel, or whatever. You know, and it's like there's a lot of things.
And then you cautioned me about being judgmental.
I said, I don't mind talking about this, but I don't want folks to feel judged by us.
Yeah.
But so we really need to talk about this from our own personal experience.
Exactly.
I know there have been times where I go like, I don't know if this is our parish, Bess. I don't know if I'm getting out of this. And she will caution me, and I'll come to my senses and go like, wait a second, this isn't about how I feel at Mass. Now, I would love to always feel an emotional high, a supernatural high, a spiritual high, to really feel engaged in the Mass and feel like, wow, that music was beautiful, or that homily was excellent, or just the Mass experience. But then I also want to always check myself and go like, are you in this for the entertainment? Are you in this for like the feel goods at Mass?
Because if you are,
then it may
be
a problem.
Problematic.
It could be problematic. It's not, God doesn't want you like to be miserable.
Mm-mm.
The way to tell a good Mass is if you're miserable. That's not what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there should be a spiritual connection. And so I guess we just want to talk a little bit about like, what are we expecting when we go to Mass? What are we expecting, and why do we feel the need to, you know, Americans are famous for voting with their wallets and their feet.
Right.
Right. Well, we're just not going to give to that cause. Or, you know, we're going to leave. We'll show them.
Yeah.
And we don't have to explain why. We just need to leave. And then, you know, your pastor or the parish leadership, you know, are kind of left in a fog like, why is everyone leaving? And they may not know, and they might need that feedback if there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like, well, maybe we don't want, you know, the captain and Tennille singing our music, or maybe we don't, you know, maybe you should turn the air conditioner to where it's like actually on.
Right.
You know, it's kind of stifling hot. You know, I feel like I'm in purgatory when I go
basic
there.
Basic stuff.
Yeah. And so there's some things that like, that affect people. And I get that because we're human beings. We're in, you know, in an incarnational faith, right? There's a connection between body and soul. And if the body's not happy, it's harder for the soul to be happy.
It is.
When I say happy, I mean, the body and the soul are connected in a profound way. And so it's like, it's important to do that, but we have to fight that temptation to desire to be entertained. Because that's led to nothing but, I think, problems.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of, over the last, say, 50 or 60 years of our Catholic faith, there have been a lot of, I don't want to say experiments, but new ways of doing things, you know, and I think it's interesting because we have two different perspectives, but we have two unique perspectives in that as a deacon at my parish, we're strictly a Novus Ordo parish. We do Mass, I think, very reverently, and we have some of the same struggles a lot of people have. And you are at a parish that is blessed with the opportunity to have their traditional Latin Mass on occasion. It's not every single Mass, but you might... Is it available to you every single Sunday?
It is, yeah. So the traditional Latin Mass is 8:15 every Sunday.
Okay.
St. Teresa the Little Flower.
So you have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting because I think sometimes people have an unfounded beef with the traditional Latin Mass, right? They're just like, well, I don't understand the words. or the priest has his back to me,
right.
Or I don't, like, the music seems so, you know, solemn and dour and down and whatever, and it's like, no, I think actually it's glorious, and you don't.
It is.
I mean, what happens if you go to heaven and you find out everything's in Latin? Now, I don't know if that's the case, but that's why we have to be careful about how we place things in boxes.
Yeah,
you know, and I actually love the traditional liturgy. I'm not part of it. I really can't be in the function that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are opportunities for me in places, and I actually have never learned to assist at a traditional Latin Mass.
Okay.
And at one point in time, I was going to, because I was drawn to that, and still kind of am drawn to the beauty. And tell me about what it is that, like where your mind is, because you're not there to be entertained. I'm speaking for you, but...
Yeah, no, my understanding is you're there, you're like any sacrament, you're there to receive. And it's difficult. I mean, when you first go, it's difficult.
Well, it's different.
It's completely different. It's like literally like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah,
I've told people before, if you go to like a Lutheran church or an Episcopal church or Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever, there's so many similarities, you kind of fit in pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But when you go to the Latin Mass, dude, it's completely different.
Right.
There's nothing like it on the face of the earth. And so,
but I've heard it expressed essentially that the traditional Latin Mass is really like heaven on earth.
To me, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
But I don't mean that phrase as if people would say, like, you know, when we had that ice cream was so good, it was like heaven on earth. You know,
right.
We use that expression to say, like, man, this is the way ice cream would taste in heaven.
Right.
I don't mean it like that kind of like full that feeling of like this is really tasty or this is really good or
right.
enjoyable or whatever. But there's something about this connection,
yeah,
between heaven and earth. And I think the times I've been to the traditional Latin Mass, there to me when I went with an open mind, I really felt a connection that I sometimes lose in my Novus Ordo experience. Now, this is, don't take this the wrong way. People are going like, wait a second. Is he saying we should all be traditional Latin Mass? I am not saying that.
No.
But what I am saying is that heaven on earth feeling, sometimes you have to, like, you've got to re-engage. If you're in a Novus Ordo Mass, you need to re-engage in that Mass and not be drawn into yourself
right.
and your experience.
Right.
Right? Like, well, I didn't understand. I don't like Father because he comes from a different country. I shouldn't say I don't like Father, but I don't like his homilies because he has a thick accent and I don't understand him.
Right.
And it's like, and you think your Mass experience basically comes down to whether or not you understand Father. Well, then there's a problem.
Yeah, the whole point of this whole conversation is it's not about me.
Yeah.
I'm not putting stuff in to make it about me. I'm not there to get things for me. It's just about receiving. And I think that's what the Latin Mass teaches you, is just to receive. You go there and just literally just receive. You don't participate that much. And so when the prayers are coming at you and they're in Latin,
and those are different. That's
you're speaking a little
different language, and you're talking people saying you don't participate, because Vatican II talks about full, active, and conscious participation.
Right.
So I might take issue with the word participate, because I think you do, but it's not like you're physically doing things, right? You're engaged in a different way.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
And I also want to reiterate that. All of those things, all of those things that you're talking about are possible in a reverent Novus Ordo Mass. Right, the way the Mass was designed, especially in the Reform, and if you've ever read the Novus Ordo, if you've ever read the, we'll call it the New Mass or whatever, the one that most people are that typically go to. If you've ever read it in Latin or heard it in Latin, it's actually quite beautiful.
It is beautiful.
There is something. I don't know. I'm engaged in a different way where I'm going. I'm not fixated on the words as I am on the expression, as I am on literally the prayer
mm-hmm.
that's happening. And that's the thing that I think that I miss every once in a while when my mind drifts.
Right.
Right. And I'm listening to that song or that lector reading that reading. And I can be drawn into... Now the functional part of my parish experience at Mass, mm-hmm. and I just think there's something that's I don't know, otherworldly, that is to be engaged. And that, again, this is my personal experience, but when I went to a couple of traditional Latin mass experiences, when I went to those masses, it sort of forced me into a like, whoa, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. It forced me to re-engage.
Right.
And so when I went back to the typical mass I'm used to doing that I assist in, it's like I was re-engaged and go like, oh, this is that part. They do it like this, and this is what we're doing. And I was re-engaged in what I was doing.
Right.
And so I don't want to get fixated on the mass here because I think this can actually turn into something even bigger, mm-hmm. a discussion. So how often is it that we take our – if we have this mass experience where, like, it's about me and my experience. It's mm-hmm. about the music I like or – like we want more modern music or updated music, or when we start hearing those things, or I want someone who speaks English really well, or when we start saying those things, it becomes a problem. But also beyond mass, when we start having expectations about how our Catholic faith should serve us, mm-hmm. it can be problematic.
It's very problematic.
I mean, you think about we're in election year, and we start looking at issues again, and we start realizing. I'm always surprised at how many Catholics are willing to go along with this issue or that issue that is actually problematic mm-hmm. from a Catholic perspective morally. Mm-hmm. And it's like we need to be aware of who is saying what. Now, I am not endorsing a party or a candidate. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you need to be engaged in the issues in this election. And in the same way, all of our life as a Catholic, to say that I'm Catholic should mean something.
Right.
It should mean something about how I live my life. I thought it was interesting. You know, I bowl, and
good at it too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay. But anyway, you know, I remember one time at the bowling
it's okay.
alley. I remember one time at the bowling alley where some lady came up to me, who I was bowling. They were on the other team, and she said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Like, are you a Catholic or a Mormon?" Because I have a bunch of kids. And I said, "Well, yeah, I'm Catholic." She goes, "I could tell." She said, "Tell me about your faith." And I said, "Oh, what do you mean?" And she just wanted to know because for whatever reason, she perceived in me somebody who was joyful. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a lot of fun. I have fun. You know, I'm a really good bowling trash talker. If you can imagine what that might be like. Now, I'm clean.
You're actually a good golfer. Trash talker too.
Yeah, yeah. Because
just so the crowd, the audience knows,
I am 62 years old, and as
you're
I'm starting to fail physically. It's the only weapon I have to try to get inside their head. But she said, "You know, there's something joyful about you. Like you're living your life in a way that like is attractive. It makes me want to know more about you and what you believe." So I talked to her about a little bit about the Catholic Church and what I experienced and
what a
all that stuff. But the point is, I think that's what people see, and. And so it's not about me and what I like. It's about the experiential part of it. It's like where I put myself and then how I live in that. And then that radiates from you. That's the best kind of evangelization.
Right.
Instead of like, well, I identify as a Catholic. I am a Catholic. And I will tell people I'm Catholic. And if someone says, well, what does that mean to be Catholic? And you go, I don't know. I do this. I was baptized Catholic. I had my first Holy of Communion before that, first reconciliation. And then I got confirmed. And then I stopped going to confession. And I make sure I go every week. I don't miss because it's a mortal sin. You know, and you stop and go like, gee, I don't want to be Catholic.
Right.
Because that sounds like you're checking boxes and you're like living by rules. And there are rules and there are boxes to check in life and in our Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. But if you're living for those rules in that way, you're missing, I think, the whole point.
Right.
And so that's why this whole conversation started happening, mm-hmm. where we said, stop. Let's talk about this on the air. Mm-hmm. Because really, it's really about engaging in your faith and living your faith in a way that people will be attracted to it.
Yeah.
And if they're not. So, you know, think about your Facebook experience.
But also, it's about when you engage, it's not about you.
Right. Well, you're just
part of the whole thing.
Yes.
You're part of the body of Christ.
You're among the cloud of witnesses. You're a living witness.
Right.
To like your faith, and so it makes people want to know more.
Every now and then the Holy Spirit will give you a consolation and you'll have a real warm, fuzzy feeling and feel great and the music will strike you, and the homily will strike you, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, from an Ignatian spirituality, you know, these
overall,
consolations versus the desolations and things like that. And you're right.
It's kind of like a family.
So you have to stop and think. I was getting ready to mention like Facebook, and how many times I've been on some kind of social media, and I'm looking at. I do a lot of stalking, and that sounds awful, but I do a lot of like sort of scrolling. And what are people thinking? What are they saying? How are they presenting themselves? Mm-hmm. You know, in all different genres of the world, like whether it's sports or religion or whatever, but especially in our faith. And every once in a while, I just get a little frustrated. Now, I don't comment on it, but I watch and go like, you know, what you just posted there is really going to turn some people off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people that constantly, I mean, there's things I believe. Like, I don't think that people should be like holding hands at the Our Father. And now don't shoot me because I believe that. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that we kind of added. It came out of the charismatic renewal, and it's okay. I'm not saying it's like it's going to ruin the mass, but I don't prefer that. But I have seen some diatribes on Facebook where people have big red X's over people holding hands at mass. And I don't know if they checked with the people that were in that picture,
right,
and said, I put a big red X over you,
yeah,
you know, and then used you as a negative example of Catholic faith. It's like,
I've never seen that, by the way.
Oh, it happens all the time on Facebook.
Okay.
So people are talking a lot about all the things that we do wrong,
yeah,
as Catholics, to say like a real Catholic would never do this. And I've seen it in traditional Latin mass world. Like, this is the only mass. This is the, you know, this is the best, it's the true mass, it's whatever.
Right.
I've had that expressed to me before,
mm-hmm,
that does not speak to all the people that go to the traditional Latin mass. For instance, you,
right,
Tom, you never say things like that. You never right. engage that way. And I know you know plenty of people who don't. But
most,
there's always
most
a couple
don't.
Of,
it's like
there's
anything
a couple
else.
Of bad apples.
Right.
Because there's also Novus Ordo people that go like, well, you Latin massers, you know, you're over here doing all this stuff like that, and you're just caught up in all these rules.
Right.
And,
think you're something.
Anytime we get that, so this is what we were really talking about, and it's mm-hmm. like, what kind of face are we putting forward?
Right.
Right. Is it about you and your experience, and then everybody should have your experience, and if you need to be entertained, then everybody else will be entertained the same way?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't want to be part of that.
Right.
I don't want to be that kind of Catholic.
Mm-mm.
And I don't understand why a non-Catholic would want to be Catholic if that's what their experience was.
Right.
So we have to be really mindful with how we present ourselves, and how we do the things that we do, and what we're actually like, what our evangelization looks like,
mm-hmm,
or whether it's non-existent,
mm-hmm,
because basically we're there to check those boxes and do the things we need to do. And so that's why I am not in favor of a church that goes entirely Novus Ordo or entirely traditional Latin Mass. I love the fact that we have this beautiful inherent, I'll say variety,
mm-hmm,
because we have a universal church, and I just think it's awesome. I think the traditional Latin Mass shouldn't be stymied. It should be encouraged,
mm-hmm,
and because I would like to be able to go more often.
Yeah.
So I'd have more opportunities to be able to go to the traditional Latin Mass, because there are times where I need something to kind of go like, pay attention to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to what's going on. Be engaged spiritually like you've not been engaged before. But at the same time, I don't want to get rid of the Novus Ordo. There's some things I would suggest, but they haven't put me on the committee.
Right.
You know, they're not, I don't get, you know, Pope Francis hasn't called me yet.
Call.
I'm waiting for like Deacon Jeff, you know, we have some questions for you. And no one asked. So a lot of this stuff is my opinion, and I get that. And if you want to send me an email and challenge me on that and say I'm wrong, I'm okay with that. Send me the email. But right. if you also are feeling the same way, go to I Give Catholic, the Catholic Cafe, and encourage us in that way. No, I just...
We got them started.
That's exactly right. I just think that we all... you know, the science tells us, I don't know what the exact number is, but I think I learned when I was a kid, that we use like 7% of our brains.
I believe that.
Right? We have all this stuff in our brain that we don't utilize to its full capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's this, Google it, there's some scientific reality there. I don't know what the number is. And I don't even know how they know that. But all that aside, you think about your soul, you think about your spiritual soul. Like, what percentage do we use?
Mm.
You know, and at what point in time do we
need
to stop?
That's a profound question.
We need to stop and go like, am I using my soul for all it's worth? Am I engaging like in a relationship with Jesus for all it's worth? Am I engaging with other people? Am I evangelizing? Am I a disciple? Am I doing what God has called us each to do, right? Not to be pew warmers. And so that, whatever that, we're going to have to come up with a name
or,
for that.
Or am I just trying to get something out of it?
Exactly right. So, and, or is it about me? And
right.
I just want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And as long as they keep me entertained, you know, then I can.
That's what you have to fight, I think.
I think you're right, because it started for me as a younger guy. I started thinking, like, right about halfway through Masca, like, only 30 minutes more. I remember thinking
right.
that. And then I started going, like,
it's a halftime. Homily's over. It's halftime.
Or 30 minutes until Perkins breakfast.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's a terrible thing to do.
It's terrible.
But so I'm not judging you because or other people because they've done it, but I'm myself. I'm holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
I'm like, I've done that. So what am I not engaging in? You know, and that's where it's like, man, you know. And I love the Mass. Like I love the liturgical year. The Mass is the same way to me. It starts right, and then it kind of builds up to this high point. You know, where Christ is made present in Eucharist, and then everything flows from that into Holy Communion in the same way that
the deacon gets to say go.
That's exactly right. And you like look at the liturgical year, and it's like it starts with Advent, preparing for the coming of Jesus, and then the coming of Jesus leads to ultimately his crucifixion and resurrection and ascension, and then everything, all the graces that flow from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you think, and I'm like, that's the way Mass should be.
Right.
And that's what our encounter with God should be, and our encounter with each other in all the things that we do. So think about what you're doing. Think about who you're doing it with. Think about, like, just ask yourself those questions. So even though it's not about you and being entertained, at the very least, it is about how you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to be engaged in and what we need to be thinking about. And we should use those opportunities, those grace-filled opportunities in our Catholic faith, particularly the sacraments, but especially at Mass. It's a time where we get to collect ourselves every single week and to do this and to check ourselves and see how much do we actually love Jesus and how much do we share that with others.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ask the Blessed Mother to be with us in this process. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.